from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What is all this?
It's golf, okay? Thank you.
Back now to more of our exclusive Tour Championship coverage with Dukes and Bell.
Live from the landing at the Tour Championship.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It's 5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
Our Dukes and Bell. We're live at the Tour Championship, sitting right here at the landing. Mark is in for Mike, who's on vacation. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, hope you're having a great day. It's been beautiful out here, except it's been warm. I'm not sure. It's been warm. I'm not going to over-exaggerate the fact that these golfers have been grinding today, and we had Danny Cannell on. You'll hear him coming up in the 6 o'clock hour talking some college football. But Danny was like, yeah, tell those guys to put on the shoulder pads and helmet and talk to me in this heat. Either way, I am curious, and we were looking at some of the scores. Obviously, Scottie Scheffler. What's going on with Scottie Scheffler? Started the day atop the leaderboard because of the way this is structured. But we'll give you an update coming up here in just a little bit. But it's been a great day. We're going to be out here tomorrow as well. So if you're not able to come out today and hang out, we'd love to see you guys tomorrow if you're coming through the Tour Championship. Andy and Randy were over at the Tito Steelhouse. And I'm looking at Engineer Jersey Mike. How was it? Good stuff over there? I know Turtle was over there earlier as well.
Yeah,
so.
Man, that's a nice place. It hurts air conditioned over
there. That is correct. Yes, it is. And
how did you get hosed? You're supposed to be the big dog here.
Well,
are you out here sweating?
Well, we're not here if, honestly, I shouldn't say here, but we are not in the Tito Steelhouse without moi, okay?
Yeah.
Last few years, we've been there, but hey, we got to get more than one show out here, and, I know.
Why wasn't this show in the air conditioning? What happened? You starting to lose your pull?
Never. I didn't know that we necessarily weren't going to be.
Oh.
That's part of this.
Okay.
So if I had known, I probably would have
I'd call your agent. I'd have a conversation with somebody. You're too much of a big dog around here to be out here in this environment.
Is this your way of protesting right now?
No, it's my way of trying to take shots at you after a whole segment of taking shots at me. It's not really working all that well.
We are out here. Listen, we've been in a great spot. This Bushmill tent is unbelievable. They got great cocktails, and the people here have been very, very friendly. And we're right next door to Dobell, so this is where we'll be tomorrow as well. All right, 404-726-0929. There is a lot going on, and I just wanted to mention this because we didn't get to it in Guy Talk, but did you guys see today Steph Curry agreed on a one-year $62.6 million deal? And here's what's funny about this, and we're going to talk about the Falcons, and we'll get into the Braves, big series starting tonight in Philly. But you see that, and nobody is tripping. And the reason is because it's Steph Curry. And I know it's an enormous amount of money, and it's insane when you think about it, but he's a champion. He damn near won the Olympics for us by himself,
And, you know, because he's a selfless player, he is one of, if not the most selfless guys in sports. I saw that earlier today, and I just kind of laughed. It's like, usually there's a reaction, you know, when you see any player, you get an obscene amount of money for 1 year, and you're like, I can't believe he got that much money. It's like, oh, Steph got $62 million to stay there with the Warriors until 26, 27. It's not even a big deal. Like, if anybody deserves it, Steph Curry changed the game.
Yeah.
And I just look at that and go, okay, that's where the NBA is. No big deal. And it just made me think, and I wanted to share that with you guys in Guy Talk, but we got so caught up in Zeno's not liking some of the women that he's seeing on these dating apps. Am I expressing that correctly?
I mean, Pickens is slim.
Thousands of women out there. I don't know what you're talking about. So anyways, that is out there today. But congratulations to Steph, man. He is going to finish his career as a Golden State Warrior. There's no doubt about that. Let's talk about what's going on with the Falcons. First and foremost, they are practicing. Yes, we know who the quarterback's going to be for the Steelers. We spent a lot of time on that yesterday. But two things happened. One, they traded Taylor Heinicke, and I want to get your thoughts on this because you were the one who was raising a fuss about them keeping three quarterbacks. And then I want you to hear a little bit of Bijan Robinson and Raheem Morris, who spoke today and gave us an update on Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons. What do you think about them trading him now versus holding on to him and potentially trying to get more later?
I mean, I don't think you were going to get more later. Taylor Heinicke's value is what it is. I mean, what you're basically hoping for is that somebody gets hurt and all of a sudden there is a dramatic need for Taylor Heinicke's services. And look, remember, there are 32 starting quarterbacks. You know what else there are 32 of?
What?
Backups. Every team already has a backup who's been there for weeks and months and learning in the system and everything else. So Taylor Heinicke's value is next to zero, especially when there are so many other guys that they could call, pay less to than what Heinicke is making, and have them be just as suitable as a starter, right? Like, I mean, after what we saw from Joe Flacco last year, he was yanked off a couch. Taylor Heinicke doesn't have any value in the trade market at the trade deadline or if somebody gets hurt or whatever. So the point simply is that they were smart to move him now. They got what they were going to get for him. They recouped a pick, not the pick that they lost, but a pick that they lost because of the tampering stuff. And you move on from it. So point simply is here that I think, for the most part, this is a calculated move that was in the work for a while now. Like, I don't think they were really ever thinking of taking three quarterbacks once they drafted Michael Penix.
It's a good move because you turn something into nothing, right? I mean, something that you felt like you might not get anything for a guy like Taylor Heinicke to something at least that maybe you can turn around and maybe acquire more picks, maybe package it for a deal down the road. And let's be honest, you said it. I think Taylor Heinicke ended up in a pretty good situation.
Yeah, I mean, again, all things considered, especially with Justin Herbert, by the way, who's got the plantar fasciitis.
Yep.
You know, them having a suitable backup with starting experience probably is more critical to them than it may be for other teams. So, and plus you get one of the best offensive coaches, offensive minds in the game, Jim Harbaugh.
No doubt about it. 404-726-0929. Follow us, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Zeno's in for Mike. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. And you can see some of the shots that I took when we got out here today of the golf course and making our way over here to the landing at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. Follow the show at Dukes and Bell 929. Hit us up as well on the radio station at 929. The game. Stay up on everything that's going on. And Zeno, give them your Twitter handle.
At Mark Zeno, MarkZinno. Insults welcome and appreciated.
All right. Let's hear from Bijan Robinson. He went on Rome and was asked about the chemistry.
You have to say it like that when you say it?
Well, that's how I say it with Rome now.
I don't know if there's like some sort of contractual obligation.
No. But Bijan went on with Rome and was asked about the chemistry with Kirk Cousins. And he said, listen, man, we hit the ground. When Kirk got here, we hit the ground running.
Yeah, I mean, so our chemistry, like, you know, we got into the ground running immediately when he showed up. And, you know, with him, you know, his experience and just the time of him being in the NFL has been, you know, awesome for him in his career. But I think with him here, like, he's found a different motive on how he goes about his business, on how he approaches the game. Because obviously we're all trying to win the big one. But, you know, he understands that it takes, you know, it steps at a time. And, you know, we're not trying to, you know, obviously we're trying to win every single game, one game at a time. But, you know, he understands how to do it in a way that brings everybody together on the offense, on the team. And, you know, even his leadership, like him teaching me how to be a better leader has been amazing for me and especially for other guys too. But
I don't think Bijan Robinson gets that with Desmond Ridder. Matter of fact, I know he doesn't. And we can say it doesn't mean anything, and I hear this all the time. Oh, you guys always talk about leadership. It matters. Teams that win have it. And for him to say that about Kirk Cousins and what he's already learned from him and how he's making him a better player, those are the things, you know, I want to hear. That's what this is about. Let's hear Bijan talk about Cousins being ready to go. He went on the Jim Rome show, and he talked about Cousins.
He's definitely ready to go. You know, he looks amazing. Like, it looked like he'd even tear his Achilles. I mean, dude's out here sprinting in practice and just having fun with it. So, like, I know he's amped up. I know he's ready to go. But just to see, like, his progress from when he got here to now and seeing how ready he is, like, I'm excited for him.
Yeah, we've been saying this. You know, Mike and I have been preaching this for weeks now. Every time that we went out to practice, I'll be honest with you, I'm watching his foot. I'm looking at his ankle. I'm looking at any odd movement. He didn't have any of it. He just didn't. When he scrambled, you know, coach would blow the whistle because he didn't want him scrambling. But it's not as if Kirk Cousins is, like, ailing whatsoever. He's ready, guys. And, you know, now, when the adrenaline is flowing and guys are chasing him, if T.J. Watt is coming after him on Sunday, on September 8th, how does he react? I don't know. But as far as him in practice, he looks just fine. Let's get to Raheem Morris, because I do want you to hear what he said about Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We got a strong arm story of the day on the way. We'll talk some golf as we're out here at the Tour Championship. And also, we'll talk to Grant about what I think is now the biggest series of the season if you're going to do something when it comes to this division. Coach Ra talking about Judon and Simmons. Where are they at? Are they up to speed on things?
Okay, so Matthew, he's a little further along, obviously, because he was practicing all this time and out where he was at. And so we got him already beefed up into his rep counts. We got him beefed up into full individual. But the personality of Matthew just comes out more and more every single day. And he is live wire. He is a guy who knows a lot of football. He is high intelligence. He is high instinctual. And he brings a little bit of the edge, and he brings a little bit more fun to a practice. Even when you get him and you trick him on something, he's able to very loudly and very clearly articulate that to the offense. Oh, I knew that was coming, but you got me. And it's a lot of fun with him. Where Justin's being kind of, I'm kind of just letting the rope out slowly with him, and now we're starting to get to some team plays and do some of those different things, and you're starting to see really the intelligence of Justin and how fast he's able to pick it up and communicate with Jesse or Grant or whoever's out there, or even Alfred at the nickel spot and some of those spots, and how detailed he is in his work, and just a true absolute professional. So there are different points, but the two guys' personalities are really ringing out, and the character behind both of them in their own different way are really starting to mesh well with our football team.
So that means that both will be ready week one. What is it going to be their impact? Don't know right now. All I know is – no, I don't. I don't know. You know, I'd be silly to sit here and tell you Justin Simmons is going to have two picks on Sunday.
No, but that's not the measure of impact.
But I don't even know what that means as far as how many tackles he may have or Judon. What, I don't want to go there yet. I want it just to play out. I think right now I'm just happy to have these guys knowing what they're capable of. But I think it's silly for anybody to be like, yeah, you know, Justin's going to come in here and he's going to have this on this Sunday. They just got here. Let's give it a little time, but I do think they're going to have an impact. You want to go there?
Play within the system.
Okay, fair enough.
Can they be part of the system and make other guys around them better? Does it make Jesse Bates a little better knowing Simmons has got his
backside?
Does it make the interior lineman a little better knowing that Judon is there to set the edge? Does it allow things that, again, you know, you're going to have to look beyond statistics to find out whether these guys made an impact or not. Smart minds, smart eyes will know what to look for.
Coming up, strong arm story of the day. Guys, we got college football. I mean, official games tonight. Week zero was fun. But this weekend is incredible. Mark and I are going to break it down and talk about some of the biggest games next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Just play some golf.
Back to Dukes and Bell, live from the landing at the Tour Championship.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy & Associates Personal Injury Law.
I'm at the Tour Championship. We are sitting at what is called the landing. And we literally, in that break, got a chance to see Scottie Scheffler's second shot.
Yeah, buddy.
It's 16 and then 17, right, I believe, that we're looking at. But it's to our right. I'm just trying to paint a picture for you here. But literally, we were in the break, and Zeno's like, oh, it's Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
And he had a nice little gallery following him.
He did.
So we go down and we see his second shot. And I was just telling Zeno, because he leads the leaderboard, obviously. He started the day the way this is structured with a two-stroke lead. But I said, man, he hit that so easy. When you watch the pros, and it gets back, by the way, to what you were saying when we started the show. If you've never been to a major golf tournament and you just appreciate the game, you don't even have to be a great golfer. Just go watch these guys. And you get an appreciation. It's like with any professional sport. When you sit close in an NBA game and you realize how big and how agile and how athletic these guys are, or a soccer game or whatever it might be, you just have a new appreciation. And I said to Zeno, I said, wow, he hit that second shot. I don't know. He's obviously the best in the world right now, but it's like, you know, 3 feet away from the hole on an uphill shot. And Zeno's like, I could have done that. And I'm like, yeah, of course you
much
could
different
have.
Club than he had.
Yeah, no doubt.
He was about 160 out and used a wedge.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I don't think that was a club I was getting. Listen, I mean, the more comical part to me is Xander Schauffele was like right, you know, in the first cut in the rough, but he was under a tree. And him and his caddy are consternating back and forth. Like they're just, you know,
about the shot?
About the shot, like talking and they're pointing at the tree leaves and this, that, and the other. And if you look at the fairway, like it slopes down to the right and it's an elevated green. So, you know, if you miss and you miss short, you're rolling down a hill, you're probably hitting a bunker. It's probably not a great, great third shot going in, going up. But anyway, I'm sitting here wondering, like, for all the golf that, like, guys like you and I have played, right?
Yeah.
How long do you stand underneath that shot? 15, 20 seconds, yes. Tops.
Let's go.
Grab the club and let's go.
Let's go.
These guys are having a debate like we had about dating apps a half hour ago, going on for 15 minutes back and forth. I'm like, Xander, just hit the flipping ball, bro.
Yeah.
Like you do this for a living, you stand there, hit the ball. That's why they're pros and we're not.
Well, this is true. He waited. But Scotty is atop the leaderboard, and we'll see how things shake out. And by the way, if you're coming out here anytime this weekend, course is a little different. They completely changed this thing and added some length and changed some holes and added some water to some holes that didn't have water. It's a nice look, man. The Tour Championship and all the folks who redesigned this thing did a really good job. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk some college football here. We got Grant coming up. We're going to talk about the Braves. It's a huge series, guys, with the Phillies, because you just did what a lot of people didn't think you were going to do, and you got help by the Phillies losing last night. You sweep the Twins. You are now five back of a team that you have four games with over the next 4 days. You win three or four, you're in business heading into September, and anything can happen. So as crazy as this year has been, they still have a shot legitimately to win this division, unless they get swept. We'll talk about that with Grant, and I don't think that's going to happen. All right. big games, big college football games this weekend. As a matter of fact, guys, it starts tonight. Colorado is playing. And I just want to talk about this for a second because I don't know what your expectations are for Colorado. But they take on a team in which I think a lot of people don't understand the culture and the winning tradition of North Dakota State. Yeah. You hear that and you go, oh, North Dakota State. Somebody who doesn't follow college football would obviously think that this is going to be a blowout. The spread, by the way, is 9.5 points. It's at Colorado.
Uh-huh.
But you've had Dion with all this stuff going on, right, with the reporter and the, you know, banning people from asking questions. Listen, I don't know if that affects the game. All I'm telling you is for a team that hasn't won jack, Colorado is prime time again tonight, 8 o'clock ESPN, and here comes South Dakota State. Do not sleep – excuse me, North Dakota State. Do not sleep on this team. There is a winning tradition and a culture at this school. They recruit guys that they understand what they're about. They're not always getting five stars. This isn't Georgia. But I think this is going to be a much better game, Zeno, than people give it credit for.
Well, the first question, away from Dion and away from Shedeur Sanders, has the Colorado defense gotten any better? Because last time I checked, they stunk.
So did the offensive line.
They were god-awful.
Yeah.
But at least Shedeur Sanders could compensate a little bit for the offensive line. Can't compensate for the defense not being able to stop anybody. And that's what this boils down to. Because you talk about the Bison of North Dakota State, what they're about. Air it out, baby. Duck and chuck. Throw the ball. I mean, you know, this is a team that can average 45, 50 points a game on the regular and do it on the road. Now, granted, this is a step up in class for the Bison, so they're not used to this level of talent across the board, you know, given what they play, you know, given the Southern Illinois, the Murray States, you know, the Illinois States that they play in the world. This is a big step up in class from a talent perspective and a good opportunity for them. But I'll say this much. I wouldn't lay the nine with Colorado just because I have no idea how much their defense has improved, if it's improved. But I do know that, you know, down the stretch last year, the Colorado offense started to fade a little bit. How much have they reloaded? I mean, you do have Travis Hunter back. And,
sure.
First round pick. That's going to help them. I mean,
top 10
pick probably.
Yeah, absolutely. Both of those guys, Shedeur and they've got two of those guys that could be top 10 picks. North Carolina at Minnesota tonight, by the way. That game's on Fox. So you get some big time, and we're carrying that game. Turtles got the bridge show, I believe, after we get done. But we're carrying that game. You've got some big time football. But let's talk about the weekend.
Okay.
Because, you know, Saturday it's all day. And it starts with Georgia-Clemson. We've been talking about this, you know, all week. We had Barbara Dooley on. If you did not hear her earlier telling great stories about these Clemson matchups and how they were in the 80s and into the 90s, she was just talking about these matchups and her husband, the late, great Vince Dooley. Very fascinating and fun stuff. Go check it out on the Odyssey app. Nothing has changed for me this week, but Barbara Dooley said something that was very interesting. She said about Carson Beck, I believe in him. I think he believes in him, but he's got to prove it. And then she said, do you not think that Dabo's going to have his guys ready?
Of course he will.
And I, you know, listen, we've been spending a lot of time on Georgia, and rightfully so. They're the number one team in the country. But I'm with her. That's why I don't think this is going to be what some people think it is. You said a low-scoring defensive game is what you believe this is going to turn out to be?
I think so, yeah.
Over-under is 48.5.
He even missed the best of the number because it was closer to 50 when it first opened, but I still believe it stays under. I mean, this feels to me, you know, at its height like a 27-20 game.
Okay.
I think Georgia, and again, I think both these teams, I even like the first half under. Got to double-check how much they shaved the number a little bit. I'll find out here in a second. But the point is that I think the pace of this game starts out slow. I think that there are two teams here that are willing to check each other for the first, you know, 30 minutes of this game to see what it looks like and figure out what the other team is doing and what they're doing well. You know, the total for the first half, you're actually getting a little bit of a break. It's 25.5.
Wow.
So you actually you have a point of value there. I might hit that even more. you know, because, again, you're going to need 17-10 to get there, right? 14-10 doesn't get you there. So it's one of those things where I think I expect it to start slow. There's a game script where it could be tight for the first half. I think if you like Clemson, you bet them in the first half. Take the 7.5 in the first half, right, and think that they can keep it close, and then Georgia pulls away late. Because that's what Georgia's good at. They'll grind you down.
They will wear you down.
They
wear you out.
Over four quarters. It's really hard to – ask South Carolina last year when they were up 14-0 at half. Georgia didn't cover that game, but the point is that they were able to grind them in the ground. They didn't score a single point in the second half of that game. Georgia walks away with a win. So I think Georgia could easily grind down Clemson and score a lot more in the second half than the first.
We're going to spend a lot of time tomorrow picking these games. We got our pick segment. We'll start Alabama. They get Western Kentucky. Penn State at West Virginia. That's a tough start for Penn State, even though they're favorite. These are all Saturday games. And then Ohio State. Everybody's talking about how good they're going to be. They get Akron to start. Okay. Exciting, right? Texas gets Colorado State. And then the U taking on Florida, 3:30 on Saturday.
Florida might win that game.
Oh, I know. Notre Dame, Texas A&M. We're going to get into all of this tomorrow and dive in a little bit deeper. Coming up, though, we got to talk about the Braves, guys. Is this our shot? Is this our chance? It's Dukes and Bell.
Don't come over the top. Stay still.
Shut up.
It's all about stillness. Inner quiet.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up!
Our tour coverage continues. Live from the landing at the Tour Championship. It's Dukes and Bell.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Braves are 73-60. They win their ninth game in their last 11 games. They're hot. To put it plain and simple, it's Dukes and Bell. Zeno in for Mike today. Let's talk to our man Grant McCauley as we go around the yard. Grant, I don't want to overemphasize or, you know, say this is hyperbole because I don't think it is. This is the biggest series now, right? I mean, you're talking about four games in a series where you're five behind the Phillies. You hadn't been this close since what? June, May? I mean,
well, they crept in there right around the start of the second half, but then went on a bender and six-game losing streak, a couple of them actually, and it pushed them right back because the Phillies have also struggled in the second half.
Well, you look at the injury bug creeping up once again. Gio Urshela now going to be out with a groin injury. I mean, it just seems never-ending. Not an incredibly huge loss per se. Obviously, the drop-off from Riley to Urshela and Urshela to Williams is probably much different, but how do we diagnose this? What's the prognosis of when Urshela may be back, and how much do you think it will affect things?
Yeah, I mean, he said he hopes to be back this weekend. So if today is Thursday and tomorrow is Friday, at least we're close to the weekend, and it's not one of those things where it's
okay.
We're day-to-day until we're not. But that's kind of been the story of the Braves here. I mean, the funny thing, and it's not funny, ha-ha, but just how many times, and I'm sure Carl knows because we've had these discussions all season long, How long do we expect so-and-so to be out? When might we see them again? And there's just no telling with some of these things. But it doesn't sound major, and Urshela indicated that he expects to play this weekend. So that's good. Obviously, Luke Williams played a big part in what the Braves were able to do in Minnesota last night. So maybe he can do a little something at the hot corner and in the lineup for the Braves today. They're not going to be banking on him, no pun intended, but some of the guys that they are, Matt Olson has had a lot of success up in Philadelphia in that ballpark. So hopefully he, Marcell Ozuna, you know, the big guns can be in the middle of some big innings for the Braves.
Grant, tell me what you think about this. As I'm watching last night, I'm sitting there and I'm going, what's the difference? Are we looser because some of the expectation has kind of faded based on the injury situation with us? I'm not saying we as Braves fans don't expect us to win, but around the country it's been like, oh, they've been decimated with injuries. And I just feel like all of a sudden now, it doesn't matter who you throw in there, and Snit has given us a variety of lineups, it feels like we're playing a little looser, which is helped us. Do you sense that?
I think that really, if I had to put my finger on it, is that winning is a lot more fun than losing, and that will be the most obvious statement that I will probably ever make on one of these calls, but I feel like that's what we're seeing, though. When you are losing and guys are getting hurt and the thing is just rolling downhill and you're like Indiana Jones and the boulder's right behind you, that's not a whole lot of fun. But with what they've been able to do lately, and they are finding different players who have stepped in, whether it was the Whit Merrifields or the Ramon Laureanos or Travis d'Arnaud's come up big, we've seen a lot of other guys in this lineup as well who have stepped in when the Braves have needed them to, and they're still getting really good pitching. I mean, yeah, every once in a while there's going to be a hiccup, somebody's going to give up some runs, but they've shown a little bit of resilience to sweep that Twins series. They had to fight for those games a little bit more than that first one when they jumped out to a 9-1 lead, but overall, I think you have to feel pretty good about the way they are playing for whatever the reasons. But when you do start to get on a roll, I do think you can feel and see a little bit of that momentum shift. And that's what they needed going into a series like this. Because as you said earlier on, and I hate that I kind of maybe sidestepped that to begin with, but if they hope to win the National League East, this does feel like the last stand for the Braves. So they wanted to go in with some momentum, some steam behind them.
Grant McCauley, host of From the Diamond. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. He's on Dukes and Bell. Charlie Morton, I'd love to know if you could tell me if we're going to get good Charlie Morton tonight or bad Charlie Morton tonight. We prefer the good one, but it always seems it's feast or famine with him.
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten a good one more lately, which is great, but he is kind of one of those guys where it depends on, can he avoid the big inning? Can he avoid self-inflicted wounds, which is walks, hit batsmen, that kind of thing? And then it always seems like, not that there's a great time for a home run, but you could live with a couple of solo shots. What you can't live with is a lot of full counts, couple of walks, then all of a sudden you're trying to get somebody to roll over or swing and miss. You hit them in the back foot, the bases are loaded, and then someone hits one in the gap or there's a couple guys on and it goes over the wall. That seems to be kind of the crux of what it is when it's the not-so-good Charlie Morton. But he's done a much better job lately of just, quite frankly, keeping guys off base. He still gets a ton of swing and miss, even at 40 years old. And really, I think all the Braves are looking for him to do is go out there and give them six quality innings. It doesn't have to be, you know, six scoreless innings. I think six innings of three-run ball you feel pretty good about because you have that bullpen that can do the things it can do. And you hope that this Braves lineup, with the way that it's been going here lately, can continue what it has been doing, which is finding ways to get some guys on and actually get some big hits with runners on base. That's a welcome change from the Braves team that we've seen throughout the course of the season.
Go ahead and give Chris Sale the Cy Young, will you?
Yeah. 2.58
ERA. Best in the majors. Grant, for me, it's not the 15 wins. Any pitcher will tell you, you need a lot of help to get to 20, right? You need some luck. Mm-hmm. You need some things to happen. But it's in the spots in which he's pitched and where he's come up big for this team where we've needed him on nights where we're not scoring runs and we're not hitting. And he's just shut other teams down. And last night I just thought was another example of, I don't know who you're thinking about giving it to, but if it ain't Chris Sale, something's wrong.
Yeah, I think he's the clear front runner right now. I think if I were to look at the numbers of somebody who's going to get some consideration, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be unanimous, but it should be close. Zach Wheeler, the Phillies, who we'll see later in this series, has also had a really good year.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't really look around baseball and see, or the National League anyway, and see a bunch of pitchers that are contending for this thing. Chris Sale has been far and away the most complete pitcher in the National League this year, if not, you know, pushing his name into that discussion in all of baseball. He is as good now as he has been, I think, at any point. And that is exactly what the Braves, I think, needed this year, but didn't necessarily come into the season expecting him to do it to this level. But I think he's just proving that when healthy, Chris Sale can still do the things that he did that made him one of the most dominant strikeout pitchers of this generation.
Paul Skeens, give it to him. I'm kidding. He's been phenomenal. Yeah. But
give him the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, see, but again, I hate that flawed thinking. Like, it's okay to give him both if he deserved it. He doesn't deserve the Cy Young. He just hasn't put together the resume as well as Sale has. But you can give him both.
Yeah.
It's totally okay.
If he had 8 or 10 more starts and was replicating what he has done thus far, I mean, he'll get some down-ballot votes. I wouldn't be surprised to see Paul Skeens get a couple of, you know, maybe second, definitely third-place votes in the Cy Young Award. And I think it's deserved. And we'll see, you know, is he able to set up shop and really become what he has shown thus far as a phenom in his first year and do it over the long term? Because if he does, I am here to tell you, that's going to be one of the most special arms in baseball for a while.
Grant, this is going to be a fun series. You know, I would love to have
maybe.
It's going to – well, listen, it's fun knowing that we have a shot to start. Like,
yeah,
if we get three days into this and we're down 0-3, I mean, obviously I'm going to feel differently. But it's fun to know we have a shot. I wish we had all of our guns, but we don't. And maybe that plays to our advantage. I don't know. I keep thinking – you know, and I told you this 2 months ago, like, I'm not believing. This is hard to think that they're going to turn this around. And they've done it with a sum of their parts, man. It hasn't been the star-studded thing that we thought it might be with Acuna and Strider and all the other things that have happened this season, whether it was money out or Riley now out. And so you have to give Snicker a lot of credit for that.
I think you do. And I think you have to give the team overall and the way that that team has been constructed and run for so long that – you know, they are not a high and low team in terms of the temperature of how they go about things and approach things. I don't think that they get too caught up in when they go on that 12, 13, 14 game winning streak we've seen in recent years. Haven't so much done it this year, but when they do, it's not you don't walk into that clubhouse and feel it's altogether different than, hey, if they just had a tough series and lost 2 out of 3. There's not a crazy swing back and forth. And I think that is a product of the way that that team has really come together overall. And that's been a year-over-year kind of thing. And as I was looking at, you know, the Phillies have had such a down second half. I mean, they've been basically a 500 club. They just took a series from the Astros, but they got pounded in the finale of that one as well. But if the Braves had managed to, you know, those 2 6-game losing streaks, they stick out like a sore thumb now, because if you just split those games, you know, like just 3-3 over the course of those couple of weeks, this division would pretty, I believe, mathematically would be tied up at this point. That's how much I think the Phillies have kind of at least come back to the pack if somebody can challenge them. And now is the opportunity for the Braves to challenge them, but they cannot afford to, A, lose the series and really expect that the National League East is going to be very easy to win. Not that that's their expectation, but if anybody out there is looking for it, they've got to get this series done. The importance is high, and, you know, they've got to keep playing well so they can push the teams behind them, the Mets, and I think the Cubs are making a little bit of a push as well in the National League wild card. So you just don't know what's going to happen over the next 30 or so days.
Grant, if there's no argument for Chris Sale to win the Cy Young, there's got
to
be even less than no argument about Aaron Judge being the MVP. I have seen some wild things. Somebody said to me, what does Aaron Judge do better than Bobby Witt other than hit home runs? And I almost fell out of my chair. But beyond that, I mean, you've obviously been through Barry Bonds' career. I don't think we've seen anything remotely close to Bonds until what we're watching with Judge
and
this
we won't.
Year. Until what we're watching with Judge this year. Do you agree?
No, because
this season.
From a home run hitting standpoint, I think you can make an argument for it. And he hits for average, yes, but Barry Bonds never struck out this much and would walk 200 times a year. That's the difference. Like, Bonds is a player who, and I understand all the other arguments and stuff, I'll stipulate, yes, he had some help. But he was the best player on this planet or any other one for about a 5-year stretch, the best that we may ever see in our lives. But putting that aside, I mean, what Aaron Judge is doing. And I talked about this on From the Diamond this week. You'd be really proud of me after I got done making fun of Craig Carton filling in for the radio broadcast 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I went ahead and talked about Aaron Judge hitting 50 homers again, what he's doing. I do think he's the best slugger of his generation right now, and I don't think that there's much of a debate there. That being said, what this MVP race feels like to me is 2012, when Mike Trout was the big rookie who was doing all the things, and Miguel Cabrera won a Triple Crown. Personally, I would have voted for Trout for the MVP, but I understand and accept why Miguel Cabrera won it. Yeah. I would kind of be in the same boat, although I think that Aaron Judge has probably a better chance of winning the MVP than just about anybody else. But if somebody's going to challenge him for it, it's Bobby Witt Jr. And this final month of September may be the push for him to get into those numbers, 30-30, 40-40, and all the other stuff defensively and whatnot. This kid, people may not really be watching him and taking it serious because he's with the Royals, and when's the last time they had a generational talent? They have a generational talent playing shortstop for them right now, and I think he's going to be very good for a long time.
Yes, I agree. But if he becomes the first non-steroid user to ever hit 60 home runs in 2 seasons, the case is closed. It's close. He's the first non-steroid user to ever hit 60 home runs in 2 seasons.
See, this is.
I just don't know that anybody's really using that as a criteria anymore.
Why not? Well, because it's irrelevant. Like, we know they test, and we know that's not
right.
In the game.
There's an era now where it's harder to hit now than it ever has been before.
Here's the thing.
Sure.
Here's the thing, and I know we got to go. Maybe we should do a podcast on this. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at East Lake. Here's the deal. If you didn't see it, and this is where we all have our moments in baseball. If you didn't cover it, you didn't see it, or you didn't witness it, it's hard to respect how good he was. And to your point, sometimes you look at these numbers and you start looking at other people's numbers and you go, oh, they look the same. It's not. It's just not. And I've said this time and time again. I said it to Brett Moon 2 weeks ago. Barry Bonds, on any given night, would get one pitch to hit, and he put it out of the park.
Yep.
He put it out of the park. Everybody was afraid to pitch to him. Everybody. So there's just a different deal. Judge is a behemoth of a man. I mean, he's a big dude. Barry was that guy prior to the steroids. And I know what you're saying, Zeno, but I don't even think it's close. I respect what Aaron Judge is doing. We got to run. Yeah. We got to run. Great stuff, man.
Thanks,
as always.
Enjoyed it, guys. Thank you.
All right. Grant's like, holy crap. What am I getting into with Zeno?
I didn't say he was Bonds. I didn't say he was better than Bonds. I didn't say he's anything close. I'm saying what we're watching right now is the closest thing we've seen to Bonds in that time frame. And from a home run hitting perspective, yes, that is correct.
All right. We've got more to get to, guys. We are live at Eastlake, as I said. Tour Championship literally finishing up. And I think Scotty Scheffler is on 18 as we speak. We'll come back. We'll get you caught up on that. Also, the latest headlines of the day as the top 3 and 6 is on the way.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.